But I'd like to start today with Exodus chapter 2 and verse, starting with verse 7. Now, I don't know how this works. I say the verse and she puts it up there. She doesn't know ahead of time, huh? Because I may say some verses that aren't actually on that paper. And I may say, quote some verses that I may not know where they're or remember where they're found, except in the Bible. I try not to do that. I try not to. But that being said, did I do that wrong? Exodus 12, beginning with verse, oh, here we are. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Notice the unleavened bread. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it with water, like they do today, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That means you eat it all. And that which remaineth of it until morning, ye shall burn with fire. Isn't God wonderful? John said, sin not. But if you do sin, 1 John, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. He doesn't want us to sin, but if we do, he makes a way. And ye shall, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on, your feet and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. When they got through with that final meal, they were ready to go. And for, if there is anybody, and I doubt it, that doesn't know, this is when they were getting ready to leave Egypt. They were beginning to walk out of their bondages. They were getting ready to walk away from their slavery. They were beginning to get ready to walk into their freedom that God had planned for his people. Now, let's jump up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll forget myself sometimes that y'all don't need to look it up in the Bible because it's going to be on the wall. The writing's on the wall. But he said, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. He has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He gave himself for us, but he gave himself to God for you and I. A Passover sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor unto God. That's what Jesus did for you and I. Are we willing to do the same thing for him? This means yes, this means no. Are we willing to do the same thing for him? Romans 12 and verse 1. Oh, I could have helped myself there. Thank you, Lorraine. I wondered where they were doing that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How can we do that? Only through Jesus Christ. Jesus gave himself a ransom for many. Jesus gave himself a sacrifice. God wants from you and I, through Jesus Christ, to be a living sacrifice. Holy. Oh, I can never be holy. Why not? The Bible says, be ye perfect, for the Lord thy God is perfect. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I, your Lord, am holy. He wouldn't ask us to do something that he wouldn't give us the ability to do. And you know, he wouldn't ask us to do something he hasn't already done himself. God is a good God. God is a mighty God. It came to me, well, it came to me in the shower that whatever Larry taught in Sunday school would coincide with what God had given me to say this morning. The title's not the same, if there was a title to his. And all the words aren't the same, but it's still that living sacrifice. It's still that giving of ourselves unto him. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. This girl's good. This amazes me. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Now, this is while they're in the desert. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, whether we believe it or not, we're in the same position. We need to eat of that same spiritual meat. We need to drink of that same spiritual water or blood. Jesus said, and I don't know if it's down here. It is. John 6:53 through 56. And this is good because I don't have it all down here. I'd have to look it up. This is 53. John 6:53. I've gotten switched around. I want to see really how good you were. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I love what Paul said. Those that have gone on won't hinder us that are still alive. Because when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And that's a whole other subject, but the air doesn't go up very far. As a matter of fact, it gets real thin when you get to the tops of the mountains. So we go up to meet him. The same word as the 10 virgins, or really the 5 virgins, because 10 were foolish. And they were out. Listen, good example. They were out trying to get what they needed. Get what you need now. Don't wait until he comes and then go on the run to get filled with the Holy Spirit or become perfect or be made holy. Do it now. So that when he comes, we'll be ready to go out and meet him. Same word. Those 5 virgins went out and they met him. And they escorted him back to where they were. I heard a preacher the other night, or maybe a week ago on Saturday night. He said, why in the world do people want to go to heaven? There's more fire talked about in the Bible in heaven than there is fire talked about in hell. Look it up and see how many times it's mentioned in heaven. I think he said it was 243. I haven't got all of it done yet. And there was only 6 times where fire is mentioned in hell. So what he was trying to tell us is that God's people are not going to heaven. God created this earth for us. But if we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood... You see, and most of the disciples left him at that time because the saying was too hard. You know, they were looking at the flesh. They were looking at what they could see. It's not what you can see, it's what you can't see. Faith, Hebrews, faith is the substance of things not seen. The evidence... I wondered why I was just said it twice. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is your hope? The evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If I wanted to wake somebody up, I would probably, I could drop this Bible on the floor. And before it hit, I'm hoping and I'm believing, I'm having faith that it's going to hit the floor. But the evidence really isn't there until it hits. But you and I know that if I dropped it, it would happen. We've got that kind of faith. We need the same kind of faith in God. When Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name, believing... He will do it. Ask of the Father anything, and He'll do it." Now, our problem is, we ask, well, I think James tells us, we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things sometimes. You know, you've heard it, and I heard a man say once, that I believe God will give me everything, and he walked into the parking lot and kicked the tire of that Cadillac, And claimed it for himself. That's not what God was talking about. God's talking about things concerning Him. And it says that if we'll believe it, already I have given unto thee all things pertaining to life and godliness. We already have it. It's given to us. I made the illustration, I may have told you at some point in time, a couple of boys in our church, I just walked down to the one boy and I handed him a dollar bill. Here you go. I gave it to him. That's salvation. God just handed salvation to us. All we had to do is just take it out of his hand. The other boy, I told him this. I said, "Listen, when you get ready and you get bold enough to get up in front of the people, you walk up here, here's your dollar bill. You walk up here anytime you want and get that dollar bill. That's yours." You know, everything isn't just given to us on a golden platter. You want to be holy? You want to be ready? Because John told us in 1 John 3, "He that haveth this hope purifieth himself, even as he," Jesus, "is pure." Now, what that is I purify myself. I can only do it by the Spirit of God. I can only do it because I eat of the flesh and drink of His blood. That sacrifice that was given. So that when the death angel comes by, the firstborn doesn't die. So we purify ourselves, but we do it through and in Him. I know I can't do it of myself, but He's already given me Himself that I might do it therewith. With that which God has given me, I can purify myself. I can only do it. And you know what? It's not just on Sunday morning. And now with things like this, it's a lot easier. Because now y'all can read it. Before, a lot of us were still trying to find it in the Bible while the pastor was reading the scripture. So, we can read it. But it's not just for Sunday morning. When they were out in the desert and they ate that spiritual food, that was food that God sent down. And in the morning, it was there. And then when the sun rose up, it disappeared, just like the dew. If you didn't get out in the morning and get it, you went hungry all day long. If you went out and got it, you could fill your house full. But only that which you ate was any good, because the rest of it was full of worms. You didn't save it for the next day. Some tried. But now on the day before the Sabbath, God didn't want you working on the Sabbath, so he sent the people out that day, and they gathered enough for 2 days. And guess what? They still didn't believe him. They gathered enough for that day, because by the time the seventh day come by, they already knew in the morning they get out there, it's going to be there. But they didn't obey the Word of God. Are we obeying the Word of God to the best of our ability? And really, that's for another time. But what I'm trying to say is, some went out and they didn't bother to collect for that Sabbath day. So when the next morning when they got up on the Sabbath, guess what? There was no spiritual food out there for them. And that spiritual water, it said, was Christ. Are we still drinking of that spiritual water? In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to eat of His flesh, which is the Word. This is the written Word of God, but there's also another Word, the spoken Word, and I can't remember the Greek word for that, the Rhema. This is the Logos, but there's a spoken Word of God. I remember in 99 when I was in Pennsylvania with Pastor Chuck on a ministry, the Lord told me to go to Psalms 103 and read. He didn't tell me how far to read. He just told me to read. And I went to, in the Newberry Bible, 100 starts up here, you know. And then you got 101, you got 102, and then you got 103. And I thought, well, they're all short chapters. I'll just start with 100. I told you to read 103. Oh, okay. So I looked at it. I thought, well, you know, they are short. I'll just quickly read through these. I told you to read 103. Well, the third time, I listened. And I am glad I did. Because he not only spoke to me from the Logos word as I was reading it, but he spoke to it a spoken word as I read through the first five verses. And I haven't got time to go into all that, what it was all about. All I know is when I got to the sixth verse, he quit speaking the Rhema. I could still read the Logos, but he quit speaking the Rhema. And I knew that God had stopped after that fifth verse. There is a difference. And God will speak to you. I think Al mentioned it, God speaking to him. I'm not sure. Maybe. I think it was Al. And I can't remember what you said he said. But I know he spoke to me last night concerning this part of this message, not the whole thing. But Brother Larry said this morning that you and I could be in the same place in God. In God. Now, we can't sit. I'd be looking pretty foolish to try and go down there and sit where Al's sitting right now. But you were in Acts Romans 8. You were in Romans chapter 8. Where we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All that Christ has, we have. And now, we're not talking $1 million. You see, in Christ, we don't need $1 million. Because God can send the food down any way he wants. Don't you know that God could raise up these very stones to praise Jesus? He didn't need a bunch of men. If we won't do it, he can raise up the stones to do it. Could you imagine if you had a bunch of stiff-necked people that knew better and come into the house of God and didn't praise God, and all of a sudden the beams and the rafters and the foundation, the floors, and begin to praise God? There'd be some shake, rattling, and rolling then, wouldn't there? Oh, we'd be shaking in our boots. But you understand what I'm saying. We need to eat of His flesh, His Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to drink of His Spirit. This really makes it easy. But let's go to same chapter, but let's go to 63 instead of 53. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Do you realize that the word that God speaks to us is life? Not just the Logos, but the Rhema also. It's life. If you read these words and you believe these words are life to you and I this morning. And I know that I've quoted this to you before out of Proverbs chapter 4. My son. I may have to look that up. Attend unto my sayings. Incline thine ears to my words. Keep them always in thy sight. Why? For they are life to those that find them. They're life to those that find them. And they are, and I can't remember the word, health. Yeah. But in the word health, it's medicine. Are you sick this morning? Are you afflicted this morning? Do you need healing this morning? Did you know that the Word of God is your medicine for whatever it is? There is a medicine for leukemia. As a matter of fact, I found out the other day it was Chuck's daughter who she was healed from leukemia. 2-3 years ago, I think they said it was around in 3 years now. All of a sudden, we've been praying and praying and praying. They're very quiet about it, and that's all right. I did not know what we were praying for except that she was sick. Something physically wrong. It was leukemia. And she was healed three years ago, somewhere around 3 years ago, I believe it was. I could be wrong about the time. I am not wrong about the healing. There is a medicine that will take care of AIDS. There is a medicine that will, you know what? There's a medicine that will grow a new limb if you need a limb. A new arm, a new hand. Sister Sexton told me about the time they were in a meeting when a little child, they were grown, well, they were a child. They were not an infant. But the one leg had never grown on one side. I'm not sure just all it was. It's been a while. But she said when they prayed, they literally watched that leg grow out to the same length as the other one. There is a medicine for all kinds. And it's right here. We just need to believe it. We need to believe what the Word of God says. And take not believe it with our minds. And, well, the Word of God says it, so it's so. Well, there's a believing with the heart. And it's not always as easy as it is with the mind. You see, in Jesus' day, He walked around doing good, healing the sick, casting out the demons and all this. And we're to be followers of Christ. The word followers is the word imitators. We're supposed to be doing the things that He did. We sang that song. And I don't remember what, I think it was the second song. I'm not sure. The garden, about the spices in the garden. See, those are the medicines that Jesus had within Him to walk around and do good, to heal the sick, the lame, the halt, the blind, make them see, make the deaf hear. to cast out demons. Sometimes demons are smarter than we are. Jesus met those men in the tombs that were filled with demons. And he asked them, what's your name? And he didn't normally do that, but there was a reason, you see, because it said, our name is Legion, for we are many, many. But they run and they knelt before him and said, oh, we know who you are, thou Son of God. Don't you cast us out. Let us go into this swine, because you can't put us where they belong early. There is a time and place for them. Me, this is why it was Jesus and not me, because I'd have put them there. I wouldn't have said go out into somebody's swine. I'd have just put them down there. But they begged him, don't send us there early. Let us go to those swine. But let's see if we can read this 64th verse now. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who it was or who they were that would, who did not believe and who would betray him. And I think that some of mine, I read mine through the New King James. That one's through King James. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said it needed to be done, but woe unto him through whom it's done. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. I'm going to read it from here. But there are some of you that believe not. That's the same one. Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You're still good, hon. You're still good. But ye are not in the flesh. Sure feels like it. See, it's hard for me to believe. I'm not in the flesh when I hit myself. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we get into a whole new sermon on that. When and how Christ enters into somebody. But we're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, or Christ, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we're not of him. So don't wait until he comes to run out and get Jesus. You see, the guy on the cross didn't know any better. I heard somebody talking about it. Don't even remember who it was. It was very recently. Maybe it was on the tape of my kid brothers down in Mississippi. But he was talking about, well, he knew, you know, just before death, he could call out to God, and he knew because the man on the cross did it. Well, what if in a split second you're not able to call out to God? What if you have that massive heart attack? My uncle come home from a baseball game. He was getting ready to retire in September. He come home from a baseball game, a Detroit Tiger baseball game, just so you know. But somebody had mentioned something as they drove away from the car, and he was laughing. He turned around, he grabbed the door handle like that, and he was dead before he hit the floor. That fast, my dad's brother. That fast. 55, I think he was, maybe 56. But he had put his years in the shop, and he could do that. He didn't have time. And I don't know if his thinking was that he would take time. You know, he'd take the last couple seconds of his life and call out to God, and he'd go to heaven. He didn't even have time to finish opening it. He turned the handle, and as he fell forward, the door opened, and he fell right on the floor, the entranceway. That fast. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. If God has something for you, don't put off getting it. and then beginning to work at it and do whatever it might be that God has for you to do. Now, if that same spirit, let me read that again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now there was another part. Go to the next verse. Because there's a part that says, this is it. I didn't have it written down. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if we could go back to chapter 7, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ. And everybody tells me, well, he does that because when you die, then you go to be with the Lord. Well, let's go to just a second here. Verse 11. But changes everything. But changes everything. If I tell you to get up to Milford Road, there's a couple different ways you can go. Janet and I, no. Let me take that back. I missed the road, Bishop. I told her I'd just go up here and turn around and come in the other way. But if I tell you to go up to Milford Road, I think it's, or Clyde Road, and turn right out of the driveway, and turn left at the very first block, it'll take you up to Clyde Road. But if you go straight, it won't. So if you decide, well, you know what, Brother Johnny said to turn left, but I'm going to go straight. You're going to miss it. Well, you'll miss getting up to it the quick way. Or you could go this way. But you understand what I'm saying. But he said, but if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's why we need him dwelling in us. And then you need to look up that word dwell. It's not just, well, I have the Spirit of God in me, and I'll see you next week, I'm going on vacation, or I'll see you next week, I got something else to do, or whatever the case might be. But if he dwells in you, a permanent dwelling place, residing in you, not being there on Sunday morning and leaving Sunday afternoon. Well, God said he'd never leave me and forsake me. No, he won't. But he'll not always be there to tend to your guidance unless you're there with, how can I say it without making it sound like he leaves him? You have to be in tune with God. You have to begin to pray. You have to seek God all the time. It doesn't mean 24 hours a day you're praying, but your mental attitude, your spiritual attitude should be towards God. You dwell on him. Whenever my wife and I leave for a trip, we always pray. Always. And I told her it's getting to the point now that if we just make a short trip, maybe we ought to pray before we leave. Always. And whenever we do, whenever I pull out of the driveway, you know, it's, Lord, watch over me, protect me, even if I'm just going down a mile to the gas station. But if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive, and I know you all know this, your mortal bodies, not your dead bodies. Thank God for the resurrection of the dead. But do you know if he dwells in you and I, his Spirit that dwells within us will make alive our mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in us or in you. This is Paul writing to the Romans. These were not Jews. These were not a tribe of Israel. This was the Romans. These were Gentile people. But I thank God that he said, those people that were not a people will be a people. Those people that were not sons will be sons. God will quicken or make alive our mortal bodies. But we've got to believe that. And you know, we don't believe that by living half-heartedly for God. And I think the whole crux of this message is this morning to stir you up to begin to believe what the Word of God says and begin to get into the Word of God in a greater measure so that we know what the Word of God says. And it doesn't mean that you have to be able to quote every verse. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes we remember things, and I don't know where it was written, but I know that the Bible says this. And so you quote some of it. That's knowing the Word of God. And there's times when I come across a scripture like that, and I say, I wish I knew that a little better. I wish I knew the Word of God where I could quote it, scripture for scripture, word for word. John 10:10. We're all familiar with this one. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Oh, not just a life so that you can live for 70, 80, 90 years. My father-in-law, when he died in November, he would have been 98 years old next month. My mother just turned 89, mother-in-law, just turned 89 this third of this month. Their numbers would have been just reversed. But he lived a long time. She lived a long time. But that's not what God wants. God wants for you and I to live more abundantly. And you say, well, people have been dying for 2,000 years. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. But I've often thought about it, and the question keeps coming. Has everybody died? Elijah didn't. Enoch didn't. Who am I to say that there hasn't been a man or a woman who pleased God so much, even in this day and age, that he would just take them on with him? I'm not saying there was. I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm just saying the possibility is there. But I believe we're in the age where God has revealed to us where we can live. I believe that we're living in the age, and I believe God's given us a few years of grace already. I could tell you some other things that I believe, but it wouldn't make it scriptural. But I believe that if people had listened to the Word of God when it came forth in 1974, in that era, starting with the late 60s, because I remember I was just coming home from the Army, on through that time period, if we laid hold of the Word of God and just instead of listening to the preachers that were preaching it and saying, whoa, I can't wait to see. Is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? And just laid hold of the Word of God, we'd have went across. Moses sent out 12 spies. Did he not? Check out the land, because we're going to cross. We're going to cross into the promised land. But you know the story. 10 of them came back with a negative report. And how many negative reports have we heard? I still have people that make remarks about, well, I see God didn't come in 74. You know, the problem is we had to get ready to go. Are you ready to go? And that isn't going off to heaven. That's being changed into his likeness, after his image. That's what we are created, in his likeness, after his image. And Adam blew it. But a second Adam come on the scene. You all know who the second Adam was, right? This means yes and this means no. Jesus, the second Adam, he placed us back in the place where we were in the garden, where Adam and Eve was in the garden, when they were naked and didn't even know it. Why? Because they hadn't sinned. I believe we're in the age where God is letting us know that if we'll live that life of God, if we'll let God dwell in us, He will make alive these mortal bodies. Now, there's going to be a whole lot happen before that, I can guarantee you, by the Word of God. First of all, just before it, we're going to see a whole lot of dead people rise. See? That's hard to comprehend. Oh, I'm going to fly off and be raptured out of here and go into be heaven. But God doesn't say that. Before that ever happens, the dead in Christ will rise. Does the Scripture say where they'll rise to? Except out of their graves? When they rose in Jesus' day, they rose and they walked the streets of Jerusalem. They didn't fly off to heaven somewhere. Now, the Bible doesn't make anything clear. And that's okay. All I need to know is that Jesus told me that if I allow the Spirit of God to dwell in me, He will quicken my mortal body. Or He told me that through Paul. He told you that through Paul. Are we eating of this Word? I believe with all my heart that this Word has the answers to every question that we might have. But sometimes we have to really seek God for the answer to that question. And sometimes God will just tell us, just like He did Daniel. Daniel, seal it up. Don't worry about it. He said to John, John, don't write down what those thunders said. That day will come. So we may not know everything. In fact, we know in part. But in that day, we'll know Him face to face. The light will be turned on, as it were. Okay, Philippians. See, here's another one. Being confident of this very thing. Philippians 1:6. That He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, it almost makes it sound like some of this I've got to do and some of this He's got to do. No, you know what? We do it together. He and I and you and Him, we all do it together. And we need each other to strengthen each other. Why? Because we're all part of one body. That's why at that time we can all sit in the same place. Because we're all part of one body. Ephesians, do I have that down? No. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 says that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God far above all principality, power, and dominion. You go into chapter 2 and you find in verse 6 that we're seated with Him. To Him that overcometh will I grant to sit on my throne, even as I have overcome and am set down on His throne with Him. How can He be set in the throne if God is already set in the throne? How can I be seated with Him on the throne if He's already in the throne? As a matter of fact, He says there's 144,000 stand with Him. I don't know if it's a literal number. I think it's a figurative number, a governmental order. 12 times 12, a governmental order. And I did notice when they ate of that sacrifice, that Passover lamb, this is the beginning of the months. That was in chapter 12, a governmental number. And I know that when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. When Jesus stood up, it says, He found in the place of an Isaiah where it said. You know, so He didn't go to the scripture verse, but I believe God had His hand in it when men begin to chop up the chapters and then the verses. I believe God had His hand in it. Because some of these things are really amazing when you look at the numbers. When you look at a chapter 5 or a verse 5, and 5 being the number of grace. And we won't get into that. But you understand what I'm saying. It's really easy for us just to lay back and die and go to heaven. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And really, that's the biggest verse I can find where that if I die, I'm with the Lord. But the Bible tells me I've got the Lord in me already. So really, where am I when I die? Chuck made mention of the fact that God is not the living, God is not the God of the living, but He's God of the living and the dead. I think it goes something like that. But He's the God of the... No, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So he made a phrase to my mother-in-law that she was still living. And I believe she is. In what realm and just where, I'm not sure. But I do know that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man could see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Send Lazarus down and give me a drop of water. You know, it was too late for that guy. And he might have seen Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, but he'd already made, listen to me, he'd already made his decision here on earth. Have you made your decision? Where will you be with God? Everybody sings, oh, we're going to rule and reign with God. Everybody says it. But if everybody's going to rule and reign, who in the world are they going to rule over? I'm still praying, Lord, make me worthy to rule and reign with you. If we read Ezekiel, and I think it's 33, but I'm not sure of the chapter. To him that is righteous and turned from his righteousness to wicked ways, he's going to be judged for his wicked ways, not for the righteousness he did on the earth. But if somebody's wicked and they turn and become righteous, they're going to be judged for the righteous ways and not for the wicked that they did. Wickedness. I didn't recall what time I started, but most of these CDs don't run much more than 80 minutes. So, and we don't want to, I want to, we're almost done. Being confident is the very thing, that he who hath done a good work, begun a good work, shall finish it. We don't have to, if we'll let God do it, he'll finish the work. In you, and in me. And you know, you'll finish it together. How glorious it will be. Oh, and Brother Larry mentioned it. The glory is, it's not worth to be compared to the sufferings that we did. They're nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us in that day. And if we'll allow God, you know, we'll allow God to discipline us, to prune us. We'll get a little bit into that next week or next month in the pruning that God's going to do. Just a little note there for next month. If we will. Now, 1 John 2 and 1. If we sin, we have a advocate with the Father. Romans 8:19, and I've got these written down. I don't have the verses written down, so I'm just touching on them. All creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Are we manifesting God? Because if we're not manifesting God's, don't let me call myself a son of God if I'm not manifesting a son of God. From the time my son was born, he manifested to everybody that he was my son. And the more he grew, the more he manifested me. Because when he was born, you just look at him. But as he grew, as he grew, and then when he was, I don't know, teenager, and he saw my high school graduation picture had been, he had all these years. I think my mother-in-law had it all those years. I'm not sure. But he saw that picture and he said, oh my goodness, because we looked identical. And he looked at me and he said, you mean I'm going to look like that when I get to be your age? I said, no, not if you take care of yourself. So we were there last summer. I don't know when it was. It was not that long ago. And I got up early in the morning, going to make coffee. And I come downstairs, and here's John. Boy, he just working out, just sweating, trying to lose some of that weight. I wish I'd have done it when I was his age. But do you understand what I'm saying? We need to read the Word of God, have the Word of God within us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is God dwelling in you? This means yes, and this means no. If God's dwelling in you, then the Word of God is in you. The Word of God is in me. And the Word of God is medicine to all our flesh. All our flesh. Not just some of it, but all of it. Do we believe that? I do. Give us our final yes. And we're going to say amen to all this. Do you believe the Word of God? Yes. Everybody said amen. We believe the Word of God. I had another one I had handwritten down here. What was that? I might have already quoted it by now. Oh, no, I didn't. Can you turn to 2 Corinthians 6:2? 6, is that right or is it 7? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and try verse 2. That's what I wrote down here. Yes. And we might need to go. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is, not tomorrow, not after you see somebody else changed into his likeness and they're immortal, but now, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's see what the next verse says. Verse 3. Now, give me no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. It's now. We need to make up our minds now to accept the Word of God for what it says. Believing, even though it sounds crazy, even though you haven't seen it. You see, just because I don't see healing doesn't mean I haven't been healed. By His stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Isaiah 5:53 says, by His stripes we are healed. Some 700 years before He said it, they were healed. It was done because the Word of God said it. And I often think of Jesus hanging on the cross. It says that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. And you know, as lazy as I am, I finally looked that up a few weeks ago. And Jesus wasn't saying that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. But they hadn't given Him that rotten wine to drink yet. So He needed, because Isaiah spoke it, that they gave Him vinegar, gall to drink. And they hadn't done that yet. So that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, He said, hey guys, I'm thirsty. Give me something to drink. Because He knew what they were going to give Him. He'd read the Scriptures. You see, long before He came to this earth as a man, He read the Scriptures. And He knew what the Scriptures said. And He fulfilled the Scriptures by saying, I thirst. They gave Him something to drink. Even though He didn't like it, it had to be fulfilled. Every jot and tittle had to be fulfilled. He said to John the Baptist, come on, you baptize me. No, I need you to baptize me, Lord. No, baptize me. Thus we fulfill the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. God bless you.